Did you know that you can be a critically thinking, rational person and be a Christian? Did you know that there's good evidence that Christianity is true? Did you know that the Christian faith can withstand the toughest of scrutiny? Welcome to the Cerebral Faith Podcast, where we believe because of the brains God gave us and not in spite of them. I'm your host, Evan Minton. Welcome to the Cerebral Faith Podcast, where we use the brains that God gave us. If you've followed the past several episodes, and if you've followed the Cerebral Faith Facebook page, then you saw this coming. This is the final episode of the Cerebral Faith Podcast, and I feel kind of melancholy recording this. I'm going to be honest. I feel kind of sad that it's this podcast. It has run for 5 years. I started it in January of 2019, and it has run all the way into late 2023. But this is the last one. And when I first started the podcast, I didn't really talk about any apologetics or theological topics. I didn't defend the Kalam cosmological argument or the resurrection of Jesus or talk about the fine-tuning of the universe and how it points to design or anything like that. It was just an introduction episode. All the way back in episode one called Introduction to the Cerebral Faith Podcast. And I talked about what this ministry is about, and what the podcast is going to be about, and what I intended on talking about on this podcast going forward, and that was what episode one was about. So it seemed good to me to end the podcast with sort of an outro episode. So yeah, there's going to be three things I'm going to be talking about in this series finale. The first topic is going to be why I'm ending the podcast in the first place. As you can tell, maybe from the tone of my voice, that I really don't want to end it, at least not right now. I would like for it to continue for a little while. But first, I'm going to be talking about why I'm ending the podcast in the first place. And then I'm going to go on to talk about the top 30 podcast episodes I recommend listening to most. This is episode 170, and while all of them are worth listening to, in my opinion, there are some that I think are probably going to be more beneficial to listen to than others. Sometimes it may be because you're a non-Christian and that's why it's important, or you know, it may be having to do with the most commonly brought up objections to Christianity, the most common theological issues. It'll just be things that will, I think, if you're going to pick and choose which episodes you listen to, these are the 30 ones I think you ought to go for. And then finally, I'm going to go into a few testimonials, how this podcast has benefited people. So, first off, why am I ending the Cerebral Faith Podcast? Well, the first reason is that I plan on going to seminary to pursue becoming a biblical scholar. As the associate pastor at Powdersville First Baptist Church, the church I go to, says, you know, God has a calling on all of our lives. And sometimes his calling is not permanent. It's not what God wants you to do for the entirety of your life. It is just for a specific time period. And this is especially true when it comes to ministry. I think God is calling me away from being an apologetics content creator and is calling me to be a scholar. God has endowed me with, I don't want to I don't want to talk like I'm tooting my own horn, but he has endowed me with an intellect and a passion for the intellectual, philosophical, theological things of Christianity. That's why I'm so passionate about apologetics and theology. It's why I write what I write. It's why I've done the podcast. I am passionate about the Bible and using the brain that God gave me, systematizing theology. I am an intellectual. I am meant to be an academic, and I think God has used cerebral faith, but the purpose for cerebral faith existing, I think, is it has met the purposes that God and myself wanted it to meet. Now, you might be asking, well, why can't you just keep the podcast going while you do school, while you work for your degrees? Well, and here's something that I've really been struggling with for the past 2 years is that, okay, look, I'm not just going to be going to school. I'm going to be working. I'm going to have to work a job in order to support myself through school. I would like to use student loan as little as possible. I will pay for whatever I can, but even apart from paying for seminary, I'm going to have to pay for food and to keep the lights on and all that stuff. So that's going to take a chunk of my time. And the other chunk of my time is going to be working on whatever thesis I'm going to be working on. Basically, I'll have to work to support myself through school. And if I'm doing school in the morning and I'm working in the afternoons and evenings, that's going to leave very little time to create content. As such, I'm not just ending the podcast, but I'm not going to be making any new YouTube videos either. As far as TikTok is concerned, I know that I've put up quite a few TikTok videos. I'm not entirely sure whether I'm going to keep doing those. I'm kind of leaning towards not, but I'm still kind of on the fence about whether or not I can do TikTok videos. Maybe I'll stop doing that, but I definitely am not going to make any edited or live streamed YouTube videos. Now, that said, I will keep the blog going, and I'm going to keep the blog going for two reasons. One, I don't want Cerebral Faith Ministries to be completely dead while I'm pursuing my degrees. And two, putting out blog posts is rather non-committal. I don't have to worry about an algorithm. I don't have to put out content on a consistent schedule. I don't have to be like, I have to make sure that I get an article out by Saturday. Otherwise, my ratings are going to suffer and people aren't going to, you know, see my stuff as much. I really got to make sure that I, you know, you have to do that with YouTube videos. You have to do that with podcast episodes. You have to put out consistently, whether it be weekly or bi-weekly. You have to have somewhat of a consistent schedule. And with the blog, I don't have to do that. I can just write a post and put it up whenever I feel like it. And really, this is the way Cerebral Faith was for most of its existence. I started Cerebral Faith as just a blog. I got a Google account. I made a blog with Blogspot, also known as Blogger. And the website URL was cerebralfaith.blogspot.com. And that's all Cerebral Faith was. It was just a blog where I would write about Christian content, Christian apologetics, theological in-house debate. I would defend arguments for God's existence. I would talk about Arminianism and Calvinism and Molinism and answer like tough Bible questions and things of that sort. And sometimes I put out a whole bunch of articles, very, you know, at a time, very close together. Like, I can remember, I think it was June of 2015 where I churned out 15 articles in just that one month. But on other occasions, I only put out like one or two. And then at other months, I maybe made six or seven articles that month. It was really just whenever I felt like it and whenever I could. It wasn't, oh, I have to make sure that I churn out consistently. Now, back then, I did kind of set, I was like, okay, I have to make sure I at least write two articles a month. And I was able to do that pretty well. But it's rather non-committal. And, if I'm working and doing school and I can't, maybe it's like 2, 3, 4 weeks before I can write another article, or maybe I'm just having writer's block. I don't have to worry about having to churn out content at a consistent rate. So I will be continuing to put out written content. Hopefully it will be edifying to Christian and non-Christian alike. It's not going to necessarily be frequent unless I just get a whole bunch of ideas and somehow get a whole bunch of free time. Now, as far as being able to keep up with that, like how are you going to know if I do churn content out infrequently? Well, how are you going to know that? Well, in the old days of Blogspot, what I would do is there was an email thing. So if anybody followed the blog, they'd get an email notification whenever I got one out. So even if I didn't put one out for like, gosh, 2 or 3 months, as soon as I did, you'd get it in your email and be like, oh, Evan Minton has written a new article. And the article would either be in the email or it would link it to you. Now I'm on WordPress now, and I've been on WordPress since 2019. I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to do that in WordPress. It's probably some plugin that I'm going to have to install. I will look into that. It probably is just some plugin, but you'll definitely be able to keep up with it if you follow the Cerebral Faith Facebook page. I always post all of my content. I link to all of it on the Cerebral Faith Facebook page so that those who are scrolling through their timeline, looking at memes and whatnot, they see my stuff and they're like, oh, Evan's got a new article out, or Evan's uploaded a new video, or oh, there's a new episode of the Cerebral Faith podcast out. I share it to my Facebook page. I also share it around to a bunch of the groups that I'm in. I try not to share to too many groups because I don't want to be seen as a spammer, but sharing. Just sharing the heck out of your stuff, that's a good way to be seen, and that's how I've built my audience. It's just by sharing the heck out of all my stuff. The Facebook page helped out, but yeah, if you're not on Facebook for whatever reason, I know most people are, but there are some who aren't. I'm gonna try to find some way for you to keep up with whenever I get new articles out via email. And like I said, there probably is a way. It's probably some plugin. I gotta be careful with that though, because sometimes I install plugins that I think are good, and it ends up messing up the website, and the web host contacts me and is like, "Hey, Evan, I had to remove this plugin of yours because it was kind of messing things up." So, hope that doesn't cause a problem. And I'm like, oh, okay. not all plugins are compatible with each other. But yeah, I'm not gonna stop putting out content altogether. If I have to go very minimal and I have to just be a blogger and just churn out, one or two articles a month, then, so be it. But yeah, like I said, back when Cerebral Faith was only a blog, this is pretty much what I did. Sometimes I would put out as many as 15 articles in 1 month. At other times, it was few, as few as two, and anywhere, any number in between. But yeah, one of th and perhaps this is pri this is probably the main reason I'm ending the podcast is just because I'm going to have so little free time on my hands and. I'm going to be going through school. I'm going to be learning Greek, maybe Hebrew, And I'm going to have to come up with, thesis topics if I want to get my degrees and I want to level up in academia and get to the final boss, the dissertation team, the dissertation committee. That's going to be very stressful, and I just don't need, oh my gosh, what am I going to do for the podcast this week? I just really don't need that on my mind. The second reason I'm ending the podcast is that Podblock is getting worse and worse as time goes on. Now, what is Podblock? Podblock, that's a term that I coined. I don't know if anybody else uses that term. If so, I coined it independently of them, like Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz invented calculus independently of Isaac Newton. But Podblock is basically the podcast equivalent of writer's block. And it gets worse and worse as time goes on. The more episodes of this podcast that I churn out, the more and more difficult it becomes to find topics to talk about. And I've been struggling with this for the past 3 years. I would run into the thought, well, what in the world am I going to talk about this week? Well, maybe I could talk about this. No, I've already done that. What about the Kalam cosmological argument? Well, I've had several episodes of the Kalam cosmological argument already. In a variety of different ways. What about the fine-tuning argument? Well, I can't think of anything I can say about the fine-tuning argument that I haven't already said. Maybe I could do some kind of reasons why you shouldn't be a Calvinist. Well, I have had so many episodes about why you shouldn't be a Calvinist already, from a variety of different perspectives, from examining Tulip to the maximally great argument against Calvinism to just having an entire episode dedicated to biblically tearing down limited atonement, etc. I would just be, oh, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? And it just gets harder and harder. And if I think hard enough, eventually I can come up with something and I'm like, hey, there's a good idea. There's something I could talk about. For example, I realized that I really hadn't talked, I mean, I addressed it, I'm sure I addressed it to some degree, when talking about Molinism, but I didn't have any content, explicitly going after open theism, so I thought, oh, I could have an episode on open theism. So, that's when I had Dr. Kirk McGregor of McPherson College to come on, and I interviewed him about open theism, and that was a good episode. I was like, but the more I come up with, the harder it gets. Now, one way to do that would be response content. I could be like, okay, well, let me look at who has given arguments against undesigned coincidences, or who has given arguments. Maybe I could look at for some atheist blogger, YouTuber, or podcaster who has like taken a jab at the Kalam cosmological argument and do a response episode to that. Maybe I could have a response episode arguing against people who have trying to take down the minimal facts argument or whatever, and just do that. Well, again, that takes time. You have to first find people, and sometimes people give, sometimes you run into the same objections over and over again. So what if I find some atheist YouTuber who I never heard of before, giving 5 reasons why the Kalam fails, and there's just the same stuff I've addressed time after time after time. You know, if God made the universe, who made God? Oh, well, the syllogism doesn't have God at the conclusion. The people who ignore the conceptual analysis of what it means to be a cause of the universe that takes place after the syllogism is successfully defended. Looking at you, rationality rules. You know, you even if you do that, even if you scour the internet or the scholarly material, now there you are bound to find some new stuff. Like when I read the two-part anthology on the Kalam cosmological argument, like Stephen Puryear and Graham Oppy brought up some objections to the Kalam that I had not heard of before. And those are usually the more sophisticated ones, too, because these are professional philosophers. But, again, it takes time, and so this bleeds into reason one. Here, for the past couple of years, I have just been trying to put out content that's been easy. So, like, I read a book, maybe the author sent it to me for free, maybe I just bought it and reached out to the author and be like, hey, I liked your book, why don't you come on the podcast to promote it? Or I just have a guest on to talk about some topic or other, like Eric Manning, to talk about the historical reliability of Acts, or Kirk McGregor responding to open theism, or Nick Peter talking about Christianity and how Christians should and should not think about video games, stuff like that. Not all of it has been, you know, easy to prepare content, like the reliability of the gospel series I made, that is sort of a pseudo audiobook of my blog post series, and that took, I did a lot of research into that, and took a lot of hard work to write that and get that out, same with my Sermon on the Mount series, but sometimes I'm just like, I need an episode, and I need having guests on is just, it's easier, I prepare the questions, and they answer it, and it's just easy to do. But yeah, the pod block, I'm like, what in the world have we not talked about? And again, going out and looking really hard for, like, content to respond to specifically, that can help. But sometimes you don't always find things worth responding to, because it's just the same stuff I've already done. And also, there are some things that I could talk about, but I don't feel that I am well-read enough in those areas to really say much with a lot of confidence. For example, the documentary hypothesis, or as it's known in scholarship, JEDP, the theory of how the first five books of the Old Testament was compiled. I don't think that is true, but my only reason for thinking that is because Jesus referred to the Torah as the Law of Moses. Now, this does not commit us to saying Moses wrote every single last word. Indeed, the last book of the Torah ends with a record of Moses' death, and he obviously couldn't have recorded that. But he had to have had some hand in it. Maybe he only wrote the law portions, but maybe an editor wrote the historical narratives that the lengthy law sections are situated in. Or maybe he wrote the historical narratives, but not the law portion, you know, the reverse. But on the authority of Jesus, I just feel compelled to reject the documentary hypothesis. Jesus claimed to be God, and as I have shown on this podcast, both from the minimal facts approach and the maximal data approach, we have very strong historical evidence to believe that Jesus claimed to be God, died, and rose from the dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, God put his stamp of approval on his claim to be divine, and therefore we can believe Jesus' teachings, such as the Old Testament is divinely inspired and authoritative, heaven and hell is real, demons are real, etc. And so, Who am I really going to? I'm going to believe Jesus over some Old Testament scholar any day, but that's pretty much the only reason I could give. There, Michael Heiser, the late Michael Heiser, he's an Old Testament scholar. He's the host of, or he was the host of the Naked Bible podcast before he went to be with the Lord. He doesn't think the documentary hypothesis is true, but he can give more than just, well, Jesus called it the Law of Moses, so Moses had to be involved at least in some capacity. He actually gives like literary and textual reasons. He's in his series on the Exodus, he got into a little bit of that. But like, I don't really know the lay of the land of the textual and literary arguments for and against, so I can't have a podcast episode or a podcast series on it, because I'm not going to pontificate on something I don't know anything about. I don't do that. I know my limitations as an intellectual, and I'm not going to talk about something if I haven't done my due diligence. So I haven't done my due diligence on the arguments for and against the documentary hypothesis, and so other than saying I have this one admittedly very good reason for rejecting it, I'm not going to talk about it. So if I'm going to make some podcast content on things that I haven't talked about before, I'm going to have to do a good bit of reading. I'm going to have to go to the library. I'm going to have to get me some book stacks. And, you know, hopefully 10 years, 20 years down the line, I will know a lot more about different biblical subjects than I do now. And who knows, I might be able to make podcast episodes on that. I have contemplated the idea of bringing the podcast back at some point. I don't know if I will. Maybe I will. Or maybe this truly is the final episode. But if I did, it would have to be at a time in my life in which I'm way more knowledgeable about stuff than I am now, and a series on the documentary hypothesis, for or against, you know, it would just have to be at a time in which I know more than I do now. So again, I would like to bring it back someday. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll start an entirely different podcast. You know, it might be a podcast that just has to do with biblical study stuff. Maybe a separate podcast from the Cerebral Faith podcast. Maybe something, I don't know what that would look like, because like I wouldn't want to do like a podcast that just goes through whole books of the Bible over the course of 20 to 30 episodes. Passage by passage, and talks about all the scholarship. That's pretty much copying the Naked Bible podcast, and I think Michael Heiser and the new guy, I think they do that pretty well. We don't need a Naked Bible podcast 2.0. I'm not sure what that would look like or what the form would be. I probably would have a co-host, because yeah, I've kind of wanted a co-host for a while. This is all just, I'm kind of rambling right now, but this is pretty much the stuff that I'm thinking about, and, like, I'm gonna be maybe in my 40s or 50s, if I ever do anything like this. If there's an episode 171 of the Cerebral Faith podcast, or if there's, another podcast entirely that I run. So the third reason that I'm ending the podcast is that Spotify for Podcasters has me kind of worried about censorship. Now, hopefully you know that I'll never censor my beliefs. I won't be quiet about what I believe is true. I am not ashamed of the gospel, and I am not ashamed to take stances that are unpopular, both within the church and outside the church. I take a lot of unpopular positions within the church. Theistic evolution, annihilationism, I've gotten some flack for saying that, you know, the gods of the nations are real spiritual entities, you know, the Deuteronomy 32 worldview, as Michael Heiser calls it. Although I haven't gotten a whole lot of flack for that last one, but yeah, theistic evolution, annihilation, theistic evolution especially, but I'm not afraid to take unpopular positions inside the church. Partial preterism. I mean, the church I'm attending right now, the pastor is going through the book of Revelation, and it's just, you know, your typical left-behind futurist stuff. And I'm just, you know, some of it at the beginning was, you know, good, but the farther in we get, it's just like, rapture this and rapture that. That's, you know, partial preterism is not a very popular position inside the church. Now, outside the church, I've got, you know, given that I'm not a so-called progressive Christian, I have several unpopular views. Now, if you look at Spotify for podcasters, I don't know if you want to call it community guidelines or user rules or whatever, you can find the following statement, quote, hateful content. We don't permit content that incites violence or hatred towards an individual or group based on race, religion, gender identity or expression, sex, ethnicity, nationality, sexual orientation, veteran status, age or disability, or other characteristics associated with systemic discrimination or marginalization, end quote. Now, I personally would never post truly hateful content. Jesus calls us to love all people. We're to love God, we're to love our neighbors, and we're to love our enemies. We're even to go so far as to show love to our enemies. As Tim Stratton likes to say, the Bible teaches that we are to love everyone, love everyone all the time, or something like that. Or, no, he says, everybody love everybody. So yeah, I would never post truly hateful content, but I'm sure you know the political climate. I'm not hesitant to speak on what the Bible has to say regarding homosexuality, gender identity, abortion, etc., etc. However, if I did, you know and I know that the people who run this platform would most likely label it as hate speech. I mean, look at even the way it is phrased. What counts as hateful content? It just says don't post hateful content that, you know, targets an individual or a group based on race, religion, gender identity, sexual orientation, etc., etc. Well, what counts as that? But would saying that, you know, the Bible says that marriage is between a man and a woman, that could be labeled as hate speech, and it has. And I don't know the people who run the Spotify for podcasters, formerly known as Anchor. They most likely would. So, in today's political climate, you can't just merely disagree with the moral status of a certain lifestyle. You have to embrace it. You have to celebrate it. You have to say, it's perfectly okay, and God doesn't care. And I'm just worried that if I were to, say, do what I did on TikTok, where I responded to Dan McClellan's videos arguing that the Bible permits homosexual unions, my show would be taken down, or at the very least, certain episodes would be deleted. That all that hard work I did would just go down the drain. Now, my blog is hosted by Alpha Technologies. It is a conservative, pro-free speech platform. I do not feel in any danger of posting my writings there, on no matter what it might be about. Anchor didn't used to be owned by Spotify, but now they are. Now, I could be bold, I could swallow my fears and make an episode called Why Abortion is Immoral, or Why Dan McClellan, you know, do a podcast episode on what the TikTok series was about, Why Dan McClellan is Wrong on the Bible Stance of Homosexuality. I could build up courage and I could do that, but what good is that courage to speak if you're silenced and no one gets to hear you? Like, let's say I make an episode about that, and it's up for a day or two, and then it gets taken down, and not very many people get to hear it. Wouldn't it just be better to upload to a platform where concerns of censorship and concerns of having entire episodes at best and the entire show at worst deleted, you know, is not a thing? And so this is the third reason I'm ending the podcast. I don't want to feel the temptation of having to censor myself so that, you know, those who run this platform feel the need to cancel me. And even if I were to take the coward's path and censor myself, like, I don't really have that much control over what my guests say. Unless I were to go edit stuff out later, it's just, I don't want to do that. I would rather just talk about stuff on a platform where I don't feel like, oh, I wish he hadn't said that, I might get in trouble. Yeah. So the next topic is the top 30 podcast episodes I most recommend listening to. Now, I'm not going to go into these in they're not ranked from like the one I recommend the most to the one I recommend the least. They're just listed in release order. So the first one is Episode 2, The Kalam Cosmological Argument for God's Existence, Part 1. Episode 3, The Kalam Cosmological Argument for God's Existence, Part 2. Episode 4, The Fine-Tuning Argument for God's Existence. Episode 5, The Local Fine-Tuning Argument for God's Existence. Episode 6, The Moral Argument for God's Existence. Episode 7, The Ontological Argument for God's Existence. Episode 27, Is the Problem of Evil Really a Problem? Episode 77, Superheroes and the Problem of Evil. Episode 78, Anime and the Problem of Evil. Episode 79, Analyzing 2 Peter 3:9 and 1 Timothy 2:4 with David Pollman. Episode 80, The Maximally Great Argument Against Calvinism. Episode 83, What Does Romans 9 Really Say? Episode 84, The Biblical Case Against Limited Atonement. Episode 86, Tulip on Trial with David Pollman. Episode 100, Live with William Lane Craig. Episode 102, Is God World Better Than the Actual World? Episode 103, God's Deceptions in the Old Testament. Episode 107, On God's Freedom to Love. Episode 113, The Case for the Historicity of the Old Testament with Kristen Davis. Episode 149, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Introduction. Episode 150, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Part 1, The Reliability of the Manuscript Evidence. Episode 151, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Part 2, The Case for Traditional Authorship. Episode 152, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Part 3, The Dating of the Gospels. Episode 153, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Part 4, The External Evidence. Episode 154, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Part 5, Some Internal Evidence. Episode 155, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Part 6, Even More Internal Evidence. Episode 156, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Part 7, What About Contradictions? Episode 157, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Part 8, Can We Really Believe in Miracles? Episode 158, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Part 9, The Resurrection of Jesus. And Episode 159, The Case for the Reliability of the Gospels, Conclusion. So these are the 30 episodes I recommend the most. Again, these are just the top 30. If you're not going to listen to all of them in release order, if you're just going to pick and choose, those are the ones I recommend reading the most. Of course, there are like many others I could have recommended, like episode 99, Misinterpreting Genesis with Ben Stanhope. I talk about Ben Stanhope and we promote his book, Misinterpreting Genesis, How the Creation Museum Misunderstands the Ancient Near Eastern Context of the Bible. There's, episode 114, where we discuss the origin of life with Hugh Ross and Fuzz Rana. There's more I could recommend. But those 30 I listed, those are the ones I recommend the most. Now, finally, before I cut it off, I want to talk about how this podcast has impacted people. I got an email from someone a few years ago. The podcast had only been running for a year. I'm not going to reveal his name. I'm just going to call him Bobby for the sake of concealing his identity. He sent it to me in an email and he said, "Hi, my name is Bobby and I'm a Christ follower and have recently come across your podcast during my best friend's stay at my house. He had wandered from the truth for several years since my move to another state, but I have never stopped pleading for his return to faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we reasoned together, and your podcast also was key in our talking and listening for many days and hours, and he did eventually, or should I say the Lord, worked on his heart. It was on his drive home when he came to realization, and he repented and called me to tell me this later of his renewed and very excited faith in the Word of God and Christ Jesus, quote and end quote. So I was very elated when I got this email, and I took a screenshot of it. I shared it. In my Google Drive, I have what's called an encouragement folder, and I remember that God used this podcast to bring someone to Jesus, and that is just incredible. It's just awesome that God has used me and my content in such a way. Now, on the Cerebral Faith Facebook page, I asked, how did the podcast affect your thinking? And unfortunately, I didn't get too much engagement, but Richard Lombard commented that he says, quote, it's helped me get a fresh perspective on many things I thought I had a good grasp on. And I responded, like what? And he said, Genesis 1, episode 68, I think it was, the book of Genesis in the Old Testament. And I said, ah, that's the first in the Primeval History series. I'm glad you found it informative. I'm indebted largely to the scholarship of John Walton and Ben Stanhope for that one. Also, a few years ago, I was on someone's podcast. I can't remember what it was. I think we were talking about evolution, but I remember Tim of Invoking Theism was on that podcast. It was sort of a panel discussion, and it wasn't in the episode itself, but it was like after we stopped recording over the Skype call. He told me that one of his friends was a Calvinist, and that it was my podcast, and the arguments that I gave against Calvinism over the course of several episodes that turned him away from Calvinism and made him an Arminian. And while that isn't necessarily a move from being unsaved to saved, this is an in-house issue, it is good to know that I have bettered someone's theology for it. I do think Calvinism is extremely unbiblical, and anyone who turns away from that view of God and how he works in the world to one that better reflects what the Bible teaches, is good. That's good. Truth is important. There are a couple of other people who have been affected by the podcast that I can't remember their names, and I didn't like save their messages, but there were like two other people who became Christians because of the case for Christianity that I have presented in this podcast. And I wish I could go on, but I'm going on 45 minutes already, and I don't want this to be, you know, this is the final episode. I don't want to have to cut it in two like I did with the, What Evan Minton Thinks About the Bible episode. So, I will just go on to say that I want to thank everyone who has followed this podcast and who has listened, especially if you have listened faithfully, consistently, like you've been there from the beginning, and or you came in late, but you just binged until you got caught up. That's thank you for those listens. I hope that all who have listened have been affected in some way, even if I didn't change your minds, even if I didn't make you go from being a non-Christian to a Christian or change any of your theological views. Hopefully I at least made you think. That hopefully I at least made you use the brain that God gave you, and at least clarified at least maybe some positions that you disagreed with. Maybe you didn't know, maybe you were told by, you know, James White or John MacArthur, that Molinists believe that God looks down the corridor of time and sees what you would do. And you listen to my podcast and you're like, no, like, God never gains knowledge. He always has this middle knowledge innately. White constructed a straw man, you know, or something like that. Hopefully it just kind of, you're like, oh, okay, I have an understanding of what this view is because I heard it from a proponent who explained it and gave a defense of it. So even if you didn't walk away with anything more than that, I mean, that's something. Even if I didn't change your mind, which is the goal, but that, you know, even if I gave you like a better perspective on some of the views that I hold, that, you know, either you agree or disagree with, that's something. So just thank you. Thank you for listening, and, you know, and for those who, you know, give feedback, for those who have told me what I've done to help you in your intellectual walk with Christ, thank you for telling me that. Because that, it really is a morale booster. You know, sometimes when I'm putting stuff out, I'm like, is anybody really listening to what I have to say? Is anybody really reading my stuff? Is anybody really watching my videos? Is this really making any difference whatsoever? And then I get a comment, I get a private message or an email and saying, yeah, that I really am helping people. I'm not the largest Christian podcast, obviously. I don't get thousands and thousands of views. I get like maybe 800 at most, but still, it's a sizable audience, and I've made an impact. And as I go on to university to become a scholar, I'm gonna give it my all. I'm going to give it everything that I've got to make sure that I get those degrees. My goal is to go all the way up. I want to get a bachelor's, a master's, a doctorate, and I want to become a seminary professor. First, I've got to become a seminary student, but that's the ultimate goal. God has not called me away from apologetics ministry. He's just called me to do it in a different way. And really, frankly, this calling has been on me for several years, but I am feeling it stronger than ever before that this God doesn't want me to be like Michael Jones of Inspiring Philosophy. He doesn't want me to be like Tim of Invoking Theism. He doesn't want me to be like David Paulman of Faith Because of Reason. He doesn't want me to be a content creator. He wants another scholar. And really, if I could do that as part of a vocational ministry, I would love that. I am so excited about what the future has in store. It won't be an easy road, but it will be one worth taking. There will be hardships, there will be setbacks, and there will be stress, but I hope that God uses me to advance His kingdom for what time I have left here on this earth, whether it be 50 years or 10 years. All I want is to help my brothers and sisters in Christ and to bring as many people to heaven with me as I possibly can. Before I wrap up, I just want to say that there is a book that is coming out, and it should be on Amazon by the time this episode drops. It's called The Sermon That God Preached, Exegeting Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It is a compilation of podcast transcripts when I did that Sermon on the Mount series. It is mostly word for word of what I said in that podcast, but I did do some editing so that it would be a smoother reading experience. But as far as reasonably expected, it is a word for word transcript of those podcast episodes. And so if you want to get that, if you want to have my thoughts and my commentary on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in written form, and you don't just want to listen to it, or you don't just want to watch the Cerebral Faith live videos, you can get that book. Again, I just want to thank everyone for following this podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your encouragement. I want to thank all of my incredible guests for coming on. I've had some really hard hitters in academia. Dr. Kirk McGregor of McPherson College, just such a he has such a huge brain, and he is such an authority on Molinism. I've had Dr. Tim Stratton of Freethinking Ministries on. I've had Dr. William Lane Craig on episode 100. I've had Dr. Michael Heiser on to promote his book, The Unseen Realm, in episode 37. I've had Dr. Craig Blomberg, Dr. Michael Icona. I've had large academic names like that come on. I've also had smaller content creators, and I've had some big content creators, like Michael Jones of Inspiring Philosophy. He's been on this podcast as a guest several times, like three or four times. Thank you all for being my guests. And yeah, I guess that's it for the final episode. So I'm gonna say this one final time. Thank you for listening to the Cerebral Faith Podcast. Peace out, God bless, and keep using the brains that God gave you.